سخنران امشب جلسه تهران ای که جلسه رسمی ثبت شده دفتر خدمات جهانی و زیر نظر ناحیه 15 الکلی‌های گمنام در تهران است، خانم تایلور با هوشیاری 31 سال از کشور آمریکا میباشند و مترجم امشبمون هم خانم سلماس هستند. من میکروفون این دو عزیز رو باز کنم.
Hello Taylor, can you hear me?
سلام سلماس جان، جلسه دارم.
سلام الهام جان.
I can hear you.
Hi, welcome to Iran.
Thank you.
Can you please also open your camera?
My camera is showing that it is open.
Oh, okay, so it will come. Yeah, it's fine. I can see you now.
Is that okay? Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to have you. Please start.
Thank you very much. Thanks for asking me. I appreciate Ali for giving me this opportunity.
You're welcome. Please start.
The important things in life. That's better.
So, you can start and I will translate.
Okay, good. Thank you. So, my name is Taylor and I'm an alcoholic. My home group is Between the Covers, and my sobriety date is August the 30th, 1989, and I am actively sponsored.
1989.
Yes.
من اسم تیلور، یک الکلی هستم و گروه خونگیم اسمش هست Between the Covers و تاریخ روز هوشیاریم هم 3 آگست 1989.
Now, I did write down some talking points because I came on Friday and I heard Beth, who gave a great lead, and I saw that you kind of have to talk in bullet points because of the translation, and I thought that I might miss some really important parts about my story, so.
Yeah, that's a good idea. You might miss the flow. و ایشون میگن که من یه سری نکات مهمی رو یادداشت کردم که اونا رو در مورد هوشیاریم میخوام راجبشون صحبت بکنم و نمیخواستم که اونا رو یادم بره.
I don't know how many of you were here on Friday, but just like Beth, I had a really hard time determining that I was an alcoholic.
نمیدونم شما جمعه تو این جلسه بودید یا نه، ولی من هم مثل بت که جمعه صحبت میکرد خیلی برام سخت بود که تشخیص بدم که یک الکلی هستم.
Now, mind you, it's funny that I had a hard time determining if I was an alcoholic because I drank a lot. My eyes were yellow with red hemorrhages in them. My memory was slippery like a Teflon pan and that nothing would stick on anymore. I had a huge addiction to sugar and I had a problem with my emotional nature.
و خیلی عجیبه که من نمیتونستم تشخیص بدم الکلیم، برای اینکه یک چشمای من کاملا سفیدیش زرد شده بود با رگه های قرمز، حافظم به قدر ضعیف شده بود مثل تفلون که هیچی بهش نمیچسبید، اعتیاد شدیدی به شکر داشتم و از لحاظ احساسی هم بسیار به هم ریخته بودم.
But if you were looking for reasons why you're not alcoholic as I was, you can always find out why you're not alcoholic.
اگه شما دنبال یک دلیلی باشید که چرا الکلی نیستید، همیشه میتونید همونجوری که من دنبالش بودم، همیشه میتونید این دلیل رو پیدا کنید.
My disease progressed very slowly. I came from a messed up household that appeared normal on the outside.
بیماری من خیلی به آهستگی پیشرفت کرد. من از یک خانواده میام که بسیار آشفته بود ولی در ظاهر به نظر عادی می اومد.
I don't know if you have these same sayings in Persia, but we had sayings like you don't air your dirty laundry. You hold your cards tight to your chest. Don't let anyone know your business. And don't rock the boat.
و یه سری ما نوشته چیزایی داریم که از بچگی به من میگفتن که مثلا این لباسای آلودتون رو نیارید جلوی بقیه بذارید هوا بدید، یا و اینی که کارتاتون رو خیلی جلوی خودتون نگه دارید، یعنی اینی که همه مسائلتون رو بیرون مطرح نکنید. What does it mean to don't rock the boat?
That means you don't ask any questions, you don't question anyone, you don't talk about anything, you just, and go to your room.
بله، و اون یکی آخری هم این بود که این قایق رو بیشتر از این تکون ندید. یعنی حق سوال پرسیدن ندارید و اینی که از کسی هم نمیتونید چیزی بپرسید، فقط برید تو اتاقاتون.
So, these sayings, this way that my household operated, that's all part of my makeup. And I think that that helped contribute to the fact that I'm alcoholic. But their hold on me lessens as I work with stress. I think I'm getting ahead of myself there, but I think you understand the point I'm making.
و به هر حال این اتفاقاتی که توی بچگی من افتاد تأثیری روی الکلی شدن من و روی اون چی که من بعدها تبدیل به اون شدم داشت.
So I was sort of a normal child. You know, I did well in school, the teacher's pet, I was pretty, I had friends, but I always had this emptiness inside, this feeling of not having enough. Never enough friends, never enough attention, never enough boyfriends, clothes, everything. I mean, I just never had enough.
و من تو مدرسه کارام رو خوب انجام می دادم، شاید زرنگی بودم، خوشگل بودم، ولی با این حال همیشه این احساس خالی بودن رو داشتم. هیچ وقت همه چیز برای من کافی نبود، هیچ وقت به اندازه کافی دوست نداشتم، هیچ وقت به اندازه کافی بهم توجه نمی شد، هیچ وقت دوست پسر به اندازه کافی نداشتم، یا اینی که لباس به اندازه کافی نداشتم، و همیشه همه چیز کم بود و من احساس کافی نبودن داشتم.
And I do want you to know that everything that I know about my story is in retrospect. When I was not an alcoholic, I was always trying to find reasons why it was your fault, not my fault. And in Alcoholics Anonymous, I've learned how to take responsibility for my life. And grow.
وقتی که من الکلی نبودم یا اینی که قبول نداشتم الکلی هستم، همیشه تقصیر شما بود، تقصیر من نبود، ولی بعداً وقتی اومدم تو الکلی گمنام همیشه من هستم که مسئول هستم و دیگه انگشت اشارم رو دیگران نیست.
There was no drinking in my house, but there was a lot of fighting. There was a lot of anger, but it was secret. It was underneath. And I just learned how to go to my room, shut down, like this. You know, by the time I was 50 years old, I had put so many things down that I felt like I was living my life between here and here. Just water here and water here. And I was just gasping for breath in my life.
Which age?
50.
Oh, you don't look 50 even now.
I'm 67.
تشته بود. ایشون گفتن که من همیشه میبایست همه چی رو میدادیم داخل و فرو میدادیم و راجبش حرف نمیزدیم و خفش میکردیم، و وقتی من 50 سالم شد دیگه اصلا تا اینجای من پر شده بود، یعنی من بین دهنم فقط تا چشمام انگار این قسمت فقط جا مونده بود و دیگه جایی واسه نفس کشیدن هم نداشتم.
So when I was looking for colleges, and that was a long time ago, it was before computers, it was before the internet, and I didn't have any way to assess colleges. The only thing that I knew is that I did not want to go to college in a dry town. That means that there's no alcohol sold there. I knew I wanted to drink, and I had not really started to drink yet.
و وقتی که من میخواستم برم دانشگاه، اون موقع موقعی نبود که هنوز کامپیوتر و اینترنت و اینا باشه، ولی من میدونستم که من دلم نمیخواد توی یه شهری که امکان مشروب خوردن تو اون نیست برم دانشگاه. تازه من اینجا هنوزم شروع نکردم به مشروب خوری جدی.
I chose a college, and I don't know if you understand what this means or not, but in the United States we do. I chose a college in New Orleans, Louisiana, where they have drinking all night long.
من توی امریکا رفتم به یک دانشگاهی توی نیو اورلان لوئیزیانا که اونجا همه هر شب مشروب می‌خورن طول شب.
I started to drink when I started going to fraternity parties.
و من شروع کردم که اونجا مشروب خوردن، به خصوص توی مهمونی‌هایی که اونجا می‌گرفتن.
I drank and I danced on tables and I drank and I scared my roommates with the amount I drank and I drank and I drank and I drank and I loved every minute of it.
و من حسابی اونجا مشروب می‌خوردم، روی میزا می‌رقصیدم، دوباره مشروب می‌خوردم و من به شدت اون هم اتاقیم رو میترسوندم و اینی که عاشقش بودم، عاشق هر لحظش بودم.
And I dated men so that they would take care of me, so I could drink and they would pay for my drinks and then they were responsible for me getting home. And drinking was exhilarating to me.
و با مردهای بیرون میرفتم که اونا از من مراقبت بکنن و مشروب خوردن واقعا احساس شعف و عالی به من میداد.
So my college boyfriend went back home and I started dating someone new in New Orleans. Same thing, he paid. I was lying to the boyfriend that had just left, but I saw nothing wrong with lying. I had to lie to get what I wanted. And then I found out that you can't lie when you get sober, when I'm not drinking, because I can start to feel how uncomfortable it is and how crazy I feel when I lie.
و من به دوست پسریم که توی اون دانشگاه داشتم، وقتی که رفت دروغ گفتم و با یه نفر دیگه شروع کردم بیرون رفتن و خیلی برای من آسون بود که دروغ بگم. اصلا فکر مشکلی تو دروغ گفتن نمیدیدم و به نظرم اینجوری من به خواسته هام میرسیدم، ولی توی پاکی نمیشه دروغ گفت و حس خوبی به آدم نمیده. آدم شروع میکنه با خودش احساس ناراحت بودن پیدا میکنه.
So we'll fast forward a little bit because I had some jobs I didn't like very much. I didn't really like my husband very much either. So you fast forward right to the marriage and drinking and lying and then surprise, right? Divorce. Mm-hmm. And the odd thing about it is I never felt bad about it. I was so totally oblivious to the truth or to fidelity or just showing up my job and doing a full day's work for a full day's pay, because I could always explain to you why it was okay that I lied, how it was really their fault. If they hadn't have been doing that, then I wouldn't have been doing that.
و من حالا میخوام یکم تون جلو برم که من کارهایی که انجام میدادم، یعنی شغلایی که ازشون چند تاشون رو رها کردم یا اونا منو بیرون کردن، و همسرم که خیلی هم ازش خوشم نمی اومد و در نهایت سورپرایز بالاخره یه روزی ما از هم جدا شدیم. و جالب اینجاست که من اصلا احساس بدی هم نداشتم نسبت به این موضوع، و جالب اینجاست که من خیلی وقتا میتونستم به راحتی بشینم و توضیح بدم که چرا دروغ گفتم و چون شما این کارو کردی من این کار رو کردم.
The lies never caught up with me, because if you found out, for instance, if you found a picture of my lover in my modeling bag, I would attack you and I would ask you, what were you doing in my bag? How dare you? Right? There was no communication. There were no apologies. And the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, they say that we are childish, emotionally sensitive, and grandiose. And that was me. really oblivious to how I harm people for the longest time.
So you were a model?
Yes, I was. Long time ago.
و اینی که وقتی یه نفر می اومد و توی کیف مدلینگ من یهو دست میکرد که یه چیزی پیدا بکنه، من مثلا یه دروغی از منو بخواد کشف بکنه، من یهو شروع میکردم به حاشا کردن که تو اصلا به چه حقی همچین کاری کردی و به چه حقی دست دادی به کیف من. و من بسیار بچگانه، نابالغ، خود بزرگبین بودم، همونجوری که تو کتاب ما میگه.
I had a long period of time, and this is how sneaky alcoholism is. I had a long period of time where I had a great job. I was very successful. I was able to control my drinking. I was somewhat happy, although one of the people I worked with came up to me one day and she said, never been able to find out why you're so unhappy. It seems to me as if you have everything. And I thought, what's to be happy about, right?
و یه مدت‌های طولانی میشد توی دوران مصرف من که من شغل خوبی داشته باشم، خیلی موفق باشم، بتونم مشروب خوردنم رو تا حدی کنترل کنم و به نظر بیاد که یه ذره خوشحالم. ولی یه بار یکی از همکاره من اومد گفتش که من هیچ وقت نمیفهمم تو چرا اینقدر ناراحتی و خوشحال نیستی، تو که همه چی داری.
So I started to get dissatisfied with my job. And this is all, I mean, if you just think about it, it's like such alcoholism. I loved my job, and yet my head started to tell me they weren't treating me right. I needed to go.
و این کلیه یک الکلیه که من شروع کردم به اینی که با کارهام دیگه احساس راحتی و رضایت نداشتم. کارم و عاشقش بودم، ولی هی میگفتم که اونا درست با من برخورد نمی کنن، به من درست ارزش نمیدن و باید از این کار برم بیرون.
Now, part of that makes sense because I've been working there for 5 years and I was very popular and I thought instead of being a small fish, a big fish in a small pond, I wanted to be a big fish in a big pond. I wanted to go for the gold ring. I wanted to be really successful.
و من یه قسمتشم شاید به نظر منطقی می اومد، چون من 5 سال بود که داشتم تو اون شرکت کار میکردم و به جای اینکه میخواستم یه دونه ماهی بزرگ توی یه دونه حوض کوچیک باشم، دلم میخواست یه ماهی بزرگ توی یک دریاچه بزرگ باشم و میخواستم واقعا برم برای اون حلقه طلا، یعنی اینکه خیلی دیگه موفق باشم.
So I moved out to LA with my boyfriend, current boyfriend, and I started to try and work in LA. But really what I was is I was unemployed. And when I didn't have the structure of my job, I started to drink more during the day. And I didn't even think anything about it.
So with the boyfriend that is now with you or that time?
At that time.
That. پس اون موقع با اون دوست پسرشون که اون زمان با اون پارتنرشون به لس آنجلس اومدن و دیگه توی امریکا، توی لس آنجلس کار تمام وقت نداشتن و همینی که یک سازماندهی زندگیشون نداشت، در اصل میشد بشه گفت بیکار بودن. این باعث شد که شروع کنن به اینکه بیشتر مشروب بخورن.
So I would go out and look for a job and then one day I was going on acting audition. One day I went on audition and one person said, you know, we need somebody who's 23 and you look more like you're 26.
و من می‌رفتم برای اینی که دنبال کار بگردم و خیلی جاها مثلا یک امتحانی یا یه امتحانی برای هنرپیشگی بود که ازم میگرفتن و یه نفر گفت ما دنبال یه نفر هستیم که به نظر 23 ساله بیاد، ولی تو به نظر 26 ساله میای.
And then the next place I went, the woman said, we need somebody who's 26, and you look more like you're 23.
من کار بعدی که رفتم امتحان بدم به من گفتن ما دنبال کسی هستیم که حدودا 26 سالش باشه ولی تو به نظر 23 ساله میای.
And I started to rage at her. Right there in her office, big casting director, and I started to rage at her. And she looked like she was afraid and might call security on me.
و من شروع کردم با خشم باهاش برخورد کردن توی یکی از این شرکت‌های فیلمبرداری خیلی مشهور امریکا و اون ترسید از من و می‌خواستش که زنگ بزنه به حالا پلیس امنیت یا یه پلیسی که حالا نگهبانی که شاید توی اون شرکت بود.
So I went home and this was the first time that I had ever drank at something. I mean, at men, yes, but at a job. I went to the liquor store, and I stood in line to buy a bottle of scotch, and the guy behind the counter said, you don't look like you're 18. I need to card you. And I started to rage at him and flip out.
این اولین باری بود که حالا من واقعا برای یه مسئله رفتم به یک مشروب فروشی که یک ویسکی بگیرم و بعد برم روی اون مسئله و روی اون عصبانیت هم مشروب بخورم که اون فروشنده به من گفتش که تو به نظر نمیاد 18 سالت باشه باید کارتت به من نشون بدی که به اونم شروع کردم حسابی توپیدم.
The guy behind me said that he would buy the bottle for me and I went home and I drank it.
So he bought the bottle for you.
That's for me. Because he knew I needed it.
و اون آقایی که پشت من تو صف بود اون برای من اون بطری ویسکی رو خرید چون میدونست که من بهش احتیاج دارم و من رفتم و اونو خوردم تو خونه.
None of these things scared me because I kept on looking outside of me and I kept on trying to figure out how you were to blame, how you caused this, how you shouldn't have done this. And I kept on looking at other people, trying to figure out, trying to explain why that rage that I felt was about them and not about me.
و اینا هیچ کدومش من نترسوند و اینی که من چون همش دنبال این بودم که مقصر شما رو مقصر جلوه بدم و همش من دنبال این بودم که بگم توضیح بدم که چرا من دارم کار درست رو میکنم و شما دارید کار اشتباه رو میکنید.
So you might notice that I'm not talking a lot about drinking. I'm talking about the effects of not drinking. I'm talking about the progression of the disease of alcoholism in me and how I couldn't even see it.
حالا ممکنه به نظر شما بیاد که من خیلی دارم از مشروب خوردن صحبت نمی کنم ولی اینها تأثیرات یه وقتی هستش که شما مشروب نمی خورید و حتی این بیماری داره پیشرفت میکنه.
So, I found a man. We both were from New Orleans. And I found a man, and I met him at Christmas time, and we started to date long distance.
و من با یک مردی آشنا شدم که ایشونم از نیو اورلان بود در سال نو و ما شروع کردیم با هم دیگه ارتباط از راه دور برقرار کردن.
And I loved it. I mean, I drank just like him. I drank every weekend. We traveled to exotic places, and I started to drink every day. I actually had to add in some cocaine to keep me up to drink because I'm like a little person, right? And I couldn't drink as much alcohol as I needed to drink, and so I needed to add in a stimulant.
و من عاشق این رابطه بودم برای اینکه اونم مثل من مشروب می‌خورد و ما با هم دیگه می‌تونستیم مسافرت‌هایی بریم به جاهای خیلی سفرهای به جاهای خیلی جالب و هیجان انگیز بکنیم و مشروب بخوریم و منم کم کم شروع کردم هر روز مشروب خوردن و من چون خیلی کوچیک و ریز نقش بودم برای اینکه بتونم به اندازه کافی مشروب بخورم مجبور شدم که یه مقدار کوکائین هم اضافه بکنم به مشروبم که منو سرپا نگه داره.
So even I could see that I was doing too much cocaine, and I quit it. I mean, I quit it cold turkey because it worried me. I could see that I had a problem with it, but I still thought that I could drink. And I got pregnant, and I had to stop drinking, and that was really unpleasant.
و من متوجه شدم که من واقعا با کوکائین مشکل دارم و خودم سر خودونو ترک کردم و کامل گذاشتمش یهو کنار، ولی به نظرم رسید که مشروب اشکالی نداره، مشروب نگه دارم، ولی دیگه اون موقع حامله شدم و میبایست مشروب خوردن کنار میذاشتم و این واقعا برام سخت بود.
Now, I thought that I was so unhappy because I didn't have my great job, I didn't have my great body, I wasn't making tons of money anymore, but I just had no idea that it was alcoholism. And when I went to therapists and we examined my childhood, goodness knows there was a lot of stuff to look at, but I kept on getting sicker and sicker because I didn't know what my problem is.
و من فکر میکردم برای این انقدر ناراحتم که دیگه اون کار فوق‌العاده‌مو ندارم، دیگه بدنم اونقدری که قبلا زیبا بود زیبا نیست، دیگه اونقدر پول در نمیارم و من اصلا هیچ ایده‌ای نداشتم که این الکلیزم منه و رفتم به یه مقدار تراپی و جلسه های روانشناسی که مسائل مربوط به بچگی منو بیارن بیرون و راجع به اون صحبت کنیم و من هی حالم بدتر و بدتر میشد و هیچ ایده‌ای نداشتم که من یک الکلی هستم.
So I had my child, a little girl, and I nursed her for 6 months, and I didn't really feel like I was jonesing to start drinking again, like really couldn't wait to start drinking again. But when I did start drinking again, after like
16 months,
my relationship with alcohol had changed.
و من بالاخره دخترم رو به دنیا آوردم و مشروب نخوردم، حتی 6 ماه هم که به بچم شیر میدادم مشروب نخوردم و نمیدونستم که انقدر درمانده اینم که دوباره مشروب بخورم، ولی بعد از 16 ماه که من شروع کردم به مشروب خوردن دیگه کلن رابطه من با مشروب تغییر کرده بود.
So instead of alcohol making me feel good and really liking the feeling of it, I started to rage, I started to hit my husband. Drinking did not make me feel good anymore. So I tried for a long time to control my drinking.
و من دیگه به جای اینکه الکل حالمو خوب بکنه شروع کرد به اینی که باعث بشه من عصبانی بشم، به همسرم توهین کنم، کتکش حتی بزنم و دیگه اون حس خیلی خوبه که به من عاشقش بودم رو به من نمیداد.
So I tried to control my drinking by drinking just wine. And because I drank so much wine, I decided to have wine spritzers.
What is spritzers?
Wine spritzer is when you add sparkling water to wine and it waters it down.
و من دیگه شروع کردم به جاش مشروب خوردن، به جای مشروبای قوی به شراب خوردن و برای اینکه حتی یکم سبکش بکنم باهاش یکم آب گازدار قاطی می‌کردم که بتونم بیشتر بخورم.
And I would drink them and I would have like 5 or 8 of them and I would just talk to the server like at a party. I would talk to the server and I would say, I'm so thirsty. I don't know why I'm drinking all of these. I just am so thirsty.
و ممکن بود 5 تا 8 تا از اینا من بخورم و بازم به اون کسی که داشت این مشروب رو به من میداد بگم من خیلی تشنمه، نمیدونم چرا انقدر تشنمه.
I had no idea that the physical allergy had been triggered and that once I had any alcohol in me whatsoever, I was going to drink and drink and drink until I got enough.
و من نمیدونستم که این آلرژی فیزیکی منه که در من روشن شده و وقتی که دیگه در من روشن میشه من انقدر باید بخورم تا این تا جایی که در اصل جا دارم.
So one day I was out to dinner with some other couples and I tried to order a glass of wine and somebody said, oh no, order wine, we'll have a bottle with dinner. And then I said, well, I'll have a glass of champagne. And then they said, we don't have champagne by the glass. And then I said, I'll have a vodka tonic. And I forgot.
و یه شبی که من با یه سری از دوستامون رفته بودم بیرون من گفتم که من یک لیوان شراب میگیرم تو اون رستوران و اونا گفتن نه چرا یه لیوان یه دونه بطری بگیر. بعد من گفتم خب نه پس من یه گیلاس شامپاین میخوام بگیرم به جای اون و بعد اونم نداشتن و بعد من گفتم خب یه دونه ودکا تونیک که اونم یه جور مخلوطی از ودکا است اونو بدیم و کاملا فراموش کردم.
I forgot that when I drank hard alcohol I had personality changes and I had a personality change at that table and started raging and everybody at that table was like they looked like I had a gun and I looked around the table and I thought I gotta quit drinking.
و من یادم رفت که من نباید یه همچین مشروبی بخورم و خوردم و به شدت تغییر شخصیت دادم اونجا، یعنی رفتار و عمل من جلوی بقیه تغییر کرد و اونا از من خیلی میترسیدن، آدمایی که با هم نشسته بودیم مثل این که مثلا انگار که من یه دونه تفنگ دستم باشه و من اون لحظه میگفتم من باید مشروب خوردن رو ترک بکنم.
So that night was sometime in August 1989. And because I wasn't quite sure of the date when I started to do Alcoholics Anonymous, I prayed and I chose the end of August as my sobriety date. So August the 30th was my sobriety date. And then that was 26 years ago. And then if you add on that 5 years of dry time that I had between stopping drinking and starting to work the steps, then I have 31 years of sobriety now.
You have 31 years. و اون اتفاق یه روزی توی یه شبی در تابستون و مرداد ماه 1989 بود، آگست 1989، ولی من چون نمیدونستم که دقیقاً کیه، وقتی اومدم تو الکلی‌های گمنام و برای این موضوع دعا کردم، تصمیم گرفتم که آخرین روز ماه آگست بذارم که 3 آگسته و از اون زمان 26 سال بعد و علاوه 5 سالی که من در اصل پاک خشک بودم، امروز من 31 ساله که هوشیارم.
When I stopped drinking that night, I stopped because it was like, whoa, that was bad. I did not make the decision that I am powerless over alcohol. I didn't make that decision until 5 years later. I stopped drinking and stayed stopped because I wanted to show my husband what a loser he was and how good I was because I didn't drink any alcohol and he did.
و وقتی که من اون شب دیگه قطع کردم مشروب خوردنم و واقعا به خاطر این نبود که من باور داشته باشم که من بی قدرتم نسبت به مشروب، بلکه میخواستم به اون نشون بدم که اون چقدر آدم به درد نخوریه و من چقدر راحت تونستم مشروب رو کنار بذارم و اون چقدر آدم به درد نخور و بازنده ایه.
So in that 5 years I was very grumpy and I had no idea that what I was experiencing was untreated alcoholism. And no one that I went to, because I did not go to another alcoholic, no one could tell me what my problem was.
You were not going to the meetings?
No.
No. و من تو اون و من تو اون 5 سال خیلی حالم بد بود، به شدت بد اخلاق بودم و و اصلا نمیدونستم که این الکلیزم درمان نشده است، چون اون موقع من به جلسه نمیرفتم، مثلا دلم هم نمیخواست قسمتی از جلسه باشم.
I thought that alcohol was my problem and I thought that if I quit drinking then that was the solution to the problem.
من فکر میکردم الکل مشکل من بوده و حالا که دیگه مشروب رو بذارم کنار دیگه هیچ مشکلی نیست.
So what started to happen, and I like to call it a chess game. I don't know if you have that board game.
Yeah. Yes.
So I call it a chess game. Is that my head started to move anything that was getting in my way of taking the next drink out of my life.
Sorry, can you repeat this sentence?
My head, in that time that I was dry, my head started to tell me to take actions to remove anything that would keep me from drinking. Let me just, I'll go back, I'll just tell you what happened. So, my head started to tell me that I should get a divorce, dump my kids, and move back to New York and get my old job again.
بله، ایشون گفتن که پس کله من اون موقع داشت به من میگفتش که تمام اون چیزهایی که مانع مشروب خوردن من میشه رو باید از سر راهم بردارم، باید یه طلاق بگیرم، برم نیویورک، بچه هامو ول بکنم و دوباره کار قبلیمو از سر بگیرم که بتونم مشروب بخورم.
Started to make me believe that I needed to get rid of my husband and my family.
و تنها چیزی که بین من و مشروب بود خانواده من بودن و برای همین کله من داشت اینو میگفتش که من باید از شرشون راحت بشم.
So I moved out of my house. I got a room in a friend's apartment. And one day I was walking back to her house and my head said, you're going to meet a nice man in a bar. You've always met nice people in bars. But you're not going to drink.
So at this time you moved out of your house.
Moved out of my house.
و ایشون این زمان از دیگه از خونه خودشون رفتن بیرون و رفتن خونه یکی از دوستاشون توی اتاق اون زندگی میکردن. و همون موقع داشتن برمیگشتن یه روز خونه، کلشون بهشون میگه که تو همیشه با آدمای خوب و مردای خوب تو بار آشنا میشی، برو تو بار و مشروبم نخور.
I was doing this kind of therapy where I was staying with my feelings and everybody there co-signed my view of my life. They all believed that my husband was a jerk, that I should go back to my old job again. They had no idea that it was all the mental obsession.
Everybody where?
Everybody who were my friends. They all thought that I should get a divorce, dump my kids, and go back to New York.
و من اون موقع داشتم یه جور تراپی انجام میدادم که باید با احساساتم میموندم و بعد تمام آدمای اطراف من و دوستای منم فکر میکردن خیلی ایده خوبی اینه که من برم به نیویورک و خانوادم رو ول کنم.
So I went out to stay with my feelings, which is something that I did all the time, so that my feelings were getting larger and larger and bringing me actually to a bottom where I would start to need God's help. I went out to stay with my feelings, and there was a friend of mine who had been, I thought, sicker than I, and she was making sense. Instead of her being having multiple personalities, one of which was a 3-year-old boy playing with trucks in the corner, she had gone back to graduate school, she was getting her master's in teaching disabled children, and she was starting to make sense.
And you met this friend?
I'd known her for a long time, but she was always crazier than I was, so the fact that she wasn't crazy anymore really got my attention.
But it's related to that time that you went out to be with your feelings.
Yeah.
And then you see this woman. again.
She had changed.
و من رفتم چون موقع که این تمرین رو میکردم که روان پزشکم بهم داده بود یا روانشناسم که با احساساتم باشم تا این بزرگ و بزرگتر شه تا به تهش برسه و من به کف اون احساس بخورم، رفته بودم که این تمرین رو انجام بدم که مدام انجام میدادم که با یکی از دوستام که قبلا به نظرم میرسید که خیلی آدم کوچیک و کارهای خیلی بچگانه‌ای میکنه و هیچ وقت هیچ تغییری توش اتفاق نمیافتاد، اونو دوباره دیدم و بعد دیدم که رفته دانشگاه، مسترشو گرفته، یعنی فوق لیسانسشو گرفته و داره یه جایی تدریس میکنه و تغییر کرده.
So I went to, because Pat had gone there, I went to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous and every single person there was carrying the message of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I had never heard it before.
و برای همین من با پت همون دوستم رفتم به جلسه الکلی‌های گمنام و هر کسی در اون جلسه داشت پیام الکلی‌های گمنام رو میداد و من هرگز اون رو قبلا نشنیده بودم.
Because of my friend and the results that she had gotten from working the steps, I decided that I was going to get a sponsor too, and I started working the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous.
و به خاطر تأثیری که در زندگی دوست من گذاشته بود، من هم تصمیم گرفتم یک راهنما بگیرم و قدم‌های AA رو کار کنم.
So that was 26 years ago that I started working the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. I had 5 years dry, and then 26 years of working the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And Alcoholics Anonymous has completely changed my life.
و من بعد از 5 سالی که پاک خشک بودم، 26 سالی که الان دارم قدم‌های الکلی‌های گمنام رو کار می‌کنم و کاملاً زندگی من رو تغییر داده.
So what am I like today? I'm married to that same man. We've been married for 33 years. I have changed so much. I don't flirt today. I don't lie today. I do an inventory every night, and I pray to ask God to remove those defects of character. I'm very lucky because I have a short leash, and I get crazy very quickly.
That was funny. من دوباره با همون مردی که ازدواج کرده بودم الان هستم. 33 سال ما ازدواج کردیم. زندگی امروز من اینجوریه. من دیگه دروغ نمیگم، دیگه نمیتونم خیلی کارهایی که قبلا میکردم بکنم، ترازم رو میگیرم و دائم دعا میکنم که خداوند نواقص شخصیتی من رو از من بگیره. و من خوششانسم برای اینکه من یک قلاده کوتاهی دارم، یعنی نمیتونم باید سریع دیوونه میشم، واسه همین باید خیلی حالا بذاریم دوباره ایشون خودشون بگن.
So I'm very lucky that I have a short leash, and I've been asked to talk a little bit today about steps 10 and 11, and these steps have been really important to me, staying sane and sober, and especially with emotional sobriety.
So why you are very lucky for that you have a short leash?
Because I feel the pain of insanity very quickly. Like if I'm supposed to be making an amend and I don't do it, I feel it. I can't just go, don't worry about it. I start feeling really bad about it.
بله، و ایشون گفتن دلیل اینی که من یک قلاده کوتاهی دارم اینه که من فوراً میتونم اون دیوانگی رو احساس بکنم و آزارم میده. برای همین نمیتونم اگه قرار یک جبران خسارتی بکنم زیاد بگم مهم نیست و واقعا منو اذیت میکنه. حالا هر کدوم از کارهایی که باید بکنم رو مجبورم زود انجام بدم و برای همین قدم 10 و 11 که امروز از من خواستن در ارتباط باش صحبت بکنم اینه که من چجوری سلامت عقل داشته باشم و پاک باشم و اینی که چجوری هوشیاری عاطفیم رو حفظ بکنم.
So step 10 is continue to take personal inventory, and when I was wrong, promptly admitted it.
و قدم ده میگه که ما به گرفتن ترازنامه خود ادامه دادیم و هرگاه در اشتباه بودیم فوراً آن را پذیرفتیم.
So I'll give you an example of that. This was a little while ago. I went to the dry cleaner to pick up a coat that I had had dry cleaned.
من حالا یه مثال میزنم. من رفتم و یه لباس دادم به خوشویی که یک کتی که داده بودم برام خوشویی کنن.
I should not have stopped to run that errand because I needed to eat lunch and I was feeling kind of grumpy.
و من نمیبایستش که اونجا خیلی وقت میذاشتم به خاطر اینکه من بعد نهار میخوردم و یه مقدار بیتاب بودم.
So when I saw that there was a spot on the coat that I just paid a lot of money to get clean, I started yelling at the attendant.
و وقتی که من دیدم که هنوز یک لکه‌هایی روی این کت هستش که من کلی پول داده بودم که اینا پاک بشه، شروع کردم داد زدن سر اون کسی که اونو به من داد.
She said she couldn't do any better than that, so I grabbed my coat and I went to my car all in a huff.
و اونم گفتش که ما بهتر از این نمیتونیم انجام بدیم. برای همین من کتمو گرفتم و با عصبانیت رفتم به ماشینم.
Now, as a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous, I know that I'm not supposed to be yelling at people.
و به عنوان یک فرد هوشیار در الکلیای گمنام من میدونم که من نباید به سر آدما داد بزنم.
So the next day I went back to that dry cleaner and I said, you know what, I yelled at you the other day. I was wrong to do that. I should have never stopped here when I was hungry. And I apologize for treating you that way and I will try to not do that in the future.
و من روی چند روز بعد رفتم اونجا و وایسادم و گفتم که متاسفم، من اون روز سرت داد زدم و من اون روز نباید اصلا اینجا وای میستادم چون خیلی گرسنه بودم و عصبی بودم و منو ببخش و دیگه این کارو تکرار نمی کنم.
So in the past I would have tried to ignore that and I would have kept on going to the dry cleaner and wondering why she wasn't treating me nice.
و اگه در گذشته بود من اصلا این آدمو محلی بهش نمیذاشتم و تازه به همون جا میرفتم و میگفتم چرا این درست با من برخورد نمیکنه.
She said, "Don't worry about it." And I continued to go that dry cleaner, and our relationship was fine.
و اون خانم به من گفت اشکالی نداره و خودتو ناراحت نکن و من همچنان به رفتن به اونجا ادامه دادم و رابطه‌مون با هم خوبه.
You know, that might seem pretty petty, but what I know about reasons why I drink and why the people that I have sponsored, well, I've sponsored many people throughout the years, it's an accumulation of those kind of things that make me drink again.
و این چیزا ممکنه به نظر خیلی ساده و کوچیک بیاد، ولی من الان که میبینم دلایلی که من مشروب میخوردم و دلایلی که آدمایی که من راهنماشون هستم اونا هم مشروب میخورن، معمولا همین چیزای کوچیک و ساده است که هی تلمبار میشه و در نهایت منو میبره سمت مشروب خوردن.
And then step 11 is sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out.
و قدم 11 میگه از طریق دعا و مراقبه خواهان برقراری رابطه آگاهانه خود با خداوند و گسترش آن شدیم. و تنها خواهان آگاهی از خواست او برای خود و قدرت انجامش شدیم.
So this is as we understand God, right? This is a continual journey. I remember probably about 8 years ago, my sponsor had a retreat, and the T-shirt said "More God." I thought, what is that?
و این دقیقا همون خدایی که من درک میکنم. و من یادم رفته بودم به یه دونه ریتریت که برای الکلی های گمنام میذارن حالا چیزی مثل همایش چند روزه است و روش نوشته بود، یه تیشرت های پوشیده بودم و نوشته بود خدای بیشتر و من گفتم این چیه؟
So I just kept on trying to have more God, you know, and I do that imperfectly, but one of the great things about prayer and meditation is that I can improve my conscious contact with God.
و من همش سعی کردم که خدای بیشتری داشته باشم و هم درسته که خیلی هم عالی و بی نقص انجامش ندادم، ولی اون چیزی که تغییر کرد، من دائم تونستم ارتباط آگاهانه خودم رو با خدا بیشتر کنم.
So when I think that I need to tell somebody about something, that I need to point something out, I can examine myself and my own motives, and I can think, where is God in this?
و وقتی که من میخوام یه چیزی رو به یه نفر بگم یا میخوام یه نکته رو به نشونش بدم، معمولا باید اون موقع بیام و ببینم نیتهای خودم رو چک بکنم و ببینم واقعا خداوند کجای این هست.
A lot of times I will, when I feel that kind of gritchy feeling, I'll realize that I have not meditated yet today. And so if I'm on the beam, I will think, let's just take 20 minutes to meditate, Taylor.
و وقتی که میبینم اینقدر حالم خرابه، میفهمم که بعضی وقتا من امروز مدیتیشنم و انجام دعا و مراقبم رو انجام ندادم و بعد میگم تیلور بیا یه 20 دقیقه وقت بذار برای دعا و مراقبت.
So I'm actively using the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous every day so that I can have emotional sobriety, and with that emotional sobriety I can have physical sobriety.
و برای همین من به طور فعالانه هر روز قدم های الکلی های گمنام رو دارم انجام میدم که بتونم هوشیاری عاطفی داشته باشم و بر مبنای اون هوشیاری فیزیکی هم داشته باشم.
So I'm very grateful to be sober. It took me a long time to get there. I always thought, so what? You don't drink today, right? Like when I was 10 years sober, that was the first time I ever told my husband my year of sobriety.
و من امروز خیلی سپاسگزارم به خاطر اینکه هوشیارم، ولی برای من طول کشید تا به اون نقطه برسم و وقتی من 10 سال پاک بودم به همسرم گفتم که تازه گفتم من چند وقت پاکم و هوشیارم.
I work with others. I have a service position in my home group. I even went to the pre-delegates forum, which is where your area and Alcoholics Anonymous sends a delegate to New York to talk about changes that may or may not be that have been brought up by other members to be talked about whether or not Alcoholics Anonymous wants to do that.
So you go as a delegate?
I'm not a delegate, but they were talking this year about changing some of the language in the big book. And I was very interested in that subject, so I went to the delegates forum.
و من به 4 جلسه حداقل در هفته شرکت میکنم و توی جلسه‌ای که جلسه خونگی من همیشه کار خدمتی دارم و حتی برای یک سری از جلسات نماینده ها به نیویورک رفتم. من نماینده‌ای نیستم، ولی برای یک سری تصمیماتی که قراره گرفته بشه راجع به کتاب بزرگ دوست داشتم که اون خدمت بکنم.
So I just want to say that I consider myself very lucky because I found someone who would tell me what alcoholism is. And I started working the steps with a patient sponsor. I started working with others right away. You can imagine how scary that was for everybody. But as she told me, I cannot harm anybody if I just tell my own experience, right? And I am still here. I am still sober. And Alcoholics Anonymous and the steps has provided for me a way to live my life, which I never had before.
با یک راهنمایی که خیلی راهنمای صبوری بود، قدم هامو کار کردم و بعد فوراً شروع کردم با دیگران قدم کار کردن که خیلی ترسناک بود، ولی راهنمای من به من گفتش که تو نمیتونی به کسی آسیبی بزنی و همین باعث شد که من هنوز اینجا هستم و هوشیار هستم و ای ای و قدم ها به من راه زندگی رو نشون دادن.
So, thank you. I really appreciate this opportunity to share my story with you. And I wish you good luck in your country. And I also want you to know that in my country, where there was strong Alcoholics Anonymous, I still wasn't looking for it. So, I know, I prayed to God one day, and I said, you know what, God? I need your help. I can't do it alone anymore. And that was when that surrender started, and that is when I started to find the people who started to help me in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I am so very grateful for that. And thank you, Ali. Thank you also to you for interpreting for me. And I hope that I've said something that is useful to someone.
It was amazing. Thank you very much. I just finished this part. ممنونم از این فرصتی که به من دادین و امیدوارم که موفق باشین در AA در کشورتون. من توی کشوری بودم که AA خیلی قوی بود، ولی من اون موقع ازش استفاده نمی کردم تا روزی که من گفتم خدایا کمکم بکن، من دیگه تنهایی نمیتونم، و به اون نقطه تسلیم رسیدم و اونجا بود که تازه رفتم به سراغ آدم هایی که بعدها به اون کمک کردن. Thank you, Taylor. It was an amazing story.
You did a great job interpreting. I know that maybe it wasn't a typical story that I was telling, but
it was very interesting for me to see a beautiful woman like you.